very happy I have this opportunity and I can introduce my work to you. And this work is motivated by a simple and naive question. What is black hole in quantum mechanics? We are now observing our signals from the region around the black hole, like a gravitational signal and a gravitational wave or other signals. But we still don't know what is inside the black hole. So in my talk, ultimately, I like understand this question. So, and I think one of the key properties of a quantum black hole should be black hole evaporate by nature. In this talk, we will consider this property in a serious way. So first, I like to say, I don't want to define black hole as the existence of the horizon. Rather, we will take the following approach. We reconsider time evolution of a spherical collapsing matter. This one. Yeah, this one. So now this object, this matter is collapsing. And then what happens? Especially we are interested in horizon is formed or not. Okay. So as you can see, of course, this space-time is time-dependent. So generically, in such a time-dependent space-time, particle creation occurs. So we need to include that reaction of this collapsing matter and particle creation both we need. But maybe here, some people might wonder, such back reaction effect should be negligible because intuitively Hawking radiation is in some sense very weak. More precisely, time scale of evaporation is given by m to the third, but the time scale of collapse is much shorter n. But I like to say here, please be careful. And this time scale, m to the third, is measured at infinity. On the other hand, this time scale is measured by commoving observer along collapsing object. So it is not meaningful to compare such two different clocks and judge something. Okay. More precisely, we need to consider both evolution, these two, in a single time coordinate. So to this approach, from now we will solve this semi-classical Einstein equation in a self-consistent manner. I will explain this meaning, self-consistent manner. I will explain it later. And anyway, here, as you can see, and the metric is classical, of course, but matter is quantum. And this expectation value of energy momentum tensor contains a contribution from collapsing matter and radiation both. Okay. So and this work is based on these papers, which is a collaboration of Hikaru Kawai of Kyoto University. And from now, I like explain our basic idea. And this part is the most important in my talk. Okay. So this idea is composed of three steps. Let's start. Step one. Let's imagine spherical black hole is evaporating here in the vacuum. So here, I use quotation mark here, but because I don't know interior, right? So at this stage, I don't specify interior structure. I just use exterior behavior. It's enough. So now this black hole is evaporating slowly and slowly. And of course, geometry also is changing in time. Right? So now, we add a spherical thin shell or particle to it like this. And here we are keeping speaker symmetry. So of course, this shell and or particle will approach this evaporating black hole. But if we consider evolution of this shell and geometry both together, then what happens? The answer is remarkable. The shell will never reach the Schwarzschild radius. I will explain this one from now. This is an evaporating black hole, and this is R, this is T, and this red dot line represents decreasing Schwarzschild radius now. And in my talk, I use notation A to represent Schwarzschild radius to the end. And we don't know interior, but it's okay. So the important point is there is radiation, Hawking radiation. To include back reaction effect from this one, we use naive ansatz, time-dependent Schwarzschild metric. Okay? So this is just naive ansatz at this stage. Okay? So here, AT is determined by this Stefan-Boltzmann law of Hawking temperature. And here, sigma is intensity of Hawking radiation, which is order one quantity and proportional to h bar, g, and n. Okay? So n is degrees of freedom of our matter fields in your Lagrangian. For example, if you have a Maxwell field and the field has a two polarization, so n equal to 2. And for example, your Lagrangian has n scalar field, then that n is this n. So, and of course, the time scale of evaporation is given by a to the third over sigma. Okay. So now, in this time-dependent geometry, a particle comes like this. Okay. So what happens here? So the point is, RS is the position of the shell or particle. Okay. So the point is, near the radius A, any particle means a particle with any angular momentum L and any mass m, any particle behaves auto-relativistic particle because of gravitational acceleration in this coordinate. So equation motion of the particle is given by geodesic equation, this one. You can see simply you can obtain, right? So this equation we can solve from now. Now we are interested in this region, RS near the A. So let's focus the difference between the position of the particle and radius A. Okay? So the difference is much smaller than A itself. So this equation motion can be approximately like this. Here, denominator we replaced with A, okay? So then, this equation becomes this one. You see, this equation is just a first order a differential equation. So you can solve this equation exactly, okay? So here, AT is a given function, this one. So we can solve this one. So this is our general solution. This is just our practice. And from now, we approximate this second part. And the point is here, exponential term. This exponential term means particle approaches A to in the time scale A, okay? So this is a time scale of the motion of the particle. Point is, in this short time scale, background geometry, that is AT and DADT, are almost constant, right? So this second term can be estimated like this. So we got this simple form. This is our solution. So here, dADT is effect of back reaction. So what does this mean? So the solution gives this one. RS approaches exponentially not A, but A plus 2 sigma over A. Okay, so here I use dADT, this one, okay. So asymptotically, any particle approaches this position. So in the picture, we can describe this line, blue line. So you can understand this behavior intuitively as follows. Close up here. So then the particle approach the radius in the time scale A. But during this time, this relative radius itself decreases by emitting energy. So up to this distance, this particle cannot catch up with the radius completely. So we have this result. So the point is this distance is, this short distance is very important. So now we evaluate the proper length of the difference, this one, like this. So we are now using just a short radius. So DLR is simply this one. And here, we estimate this quantity up here, A plus 2 sigma over A. So then this one becomes like this, root 2 sigma. So here, and sigma is order of N times H over G. So H over G is LP square. This is my notation, Planck length. So a proper length is given by just a root N times Planck length. So if N is large, then this distance is physically meaningful. That is, physically at the semi-classical level, the shell is always outside the shield radius, So in this sense, we can conclude the shell will never cross A. And the point is, this evolution is not, so this evolution doesn't depend on our choice of the coordinate. Indeed, in this evolution, our no coordinate singularity appears. So you can describe full evolution of the particle like this in this TR coordinate. The point is, this geometry is not vacuum Schwarzschild metric. We are considering time-dependent Schwarzschild metric, right?
So you say it doesn't depend on the coordinates, but of course, you start with Schwarzschild coordinates, right? And you wrote this as that's using some aspect of the Schwarzschild.
Okay, I see. So
it's certainly true. Classically, if I throw a shell into a Schwarzschild black hole and describe it from point of view, what I see at infinity.
Right?
I also don't see the shell across the horizon.
So
for the moment, suppose we forget. So you're thinking about some quantum corrections, but for the moment, let's turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
And just consider the case where this thing is not evaporating.
Okay.
The effect you're talking about is still true, yes. In other words, the shell is always outside AFT.
So you see, and the point is, so our now, this geometry, and in this background geometry, we just solved the equation motion. Then the motion gives this solution. That's all.
Yeah, right. So I'm saying, now suppose that I did your derivation again, but I set all these.
Previous one, this one. Yeah.
I can do the So before doing the semi-classical thing, I could just do the classical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about a shell falling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in this limit, it's not evaporating. It's not sitting at a Planckian scale. But it still doesn't cross, right?
So and from now I will do an other story based on this understanding. So and here I use just a test particle, right? So and from now I will consider real collapsing object, and then we have another conclusion, that is the shell or collapsing continuously distributed matter will never form horizon. This is my solution. Okay, stay tuned. You can, sorry. So anyway, this is step two. This is step two. And now, after the shell approaches the asymptotic position, right? So then the radiation is emitted from the metric around the shell. Additionally means from the beginning, Hawking radiation is emitted from the core black hole, but additionally we have two contributions, right? So the interesting point is the sum of radiation in this sense, right, is equal to radiation from a larger black hole. So in this sense, this composite system, shell plus black hole, behaves like a larger black hole. We can show this picture later. And this is the final step, step three. Let's go back to our initial motivation, continuous collapsing matter, not black hole, okay? So because of spherical symmetry, we can regard this continuous matter as consisting of many shells, approximately, okay? So then we can apply the Clivier's chasing mechanism, right? So chasing mechanism means, so if each shell are evaporating as usual, then each shell just approaches A prime to sigma opa A prime. A prime is the Chursuit radius of the shell we are focusing, right? So this mechanism is applied to recursively each shell, then we can see this continuous matter just shrinks and become a dense object. So by construction, we can see the matter and the radiation are filled inside this position. So this position plays role of a boundary. So we call here surface of this object. And then no horizon exists. And this second term is much smaller than A itself. So from the exterior, this object looks like an usual black hole. So I like to say this object should be quantum black hole. This is my basic idea. So the problem is, how can we show this story in mathematical way? Okay. So from now, we will solve this equation. The assumption, key assumption is spherical symmetry, right? And of course, we use mean field approximation method. And the another point is, we solve this equation in a non-perturbative way with respect to H bar. So how to solve this equation in a self-consistent manner? So this is my talk plan. Step one, we construct a candidate metric, just a candidate metric, by using a physical model. And step two, using the obtained candidate metric, we evaluate expectation value of energy momentum tensor. And step three, we impose this equality and we find the self-consistent metric G mu nu. And finally, we check consistency. For example, curvature, Stefan-Boltzmann law, temperature and energy condition, entropy or information. Okay. So this is final part. Let's go to, go ahead.
Sorry, wouldn't that be sort of perturbative in nature though? Because you find this self-consistent metric, but that then will affect the matter distribution. So you have to sort of solving it, right?
So, and
iterating.
Yes, exactly. So, and the point is here, this is the point. So, and for example, in the textbook of the Ising model in the statistical mechanics techniques book, yes? So, and for example, if you use a mean field approximation method, first, you focus on one site spin, right? And you replace the expectation value to some candidate value. And around here, you get effective Hamiltonian, and you calculate, So similar process, right? So step three, we can determine the candidate value of, so the value is one of the parameter in this metric. Okay, let's go to step one, construction of the candidate metric. Before going to our main model, I like to give a preliminary model. So here, we have a spherical null shell, okay? So of course, interior is flat, and exterior is given by just a short-tooth vacuum solution, of course. And this shell approaches its own short-tooth radius. And maybe at some stage, particle creation occur, maybe, right? So then what happens? Of course, this future will be determined by Einstein equation, but here, in this step, I don't solve, set up geometry. We don't solve Einstein equation in this section, okay? So in the graph, this is R, this is U, and the U is outgoing null time, right? So in this coordinate, outgoing null rays are described by this vertical line. So this is a shell. And inside is a flat, okay? So to introduce metric, candidate metric, we are introduce one assumption. Physically, a part of Hawking radiation should be scattered by gravitational potential or interaction with other matters. But here, for simplicity, we neglect that effect. Okay. So this is assumption. But later, we will remove this artificial assumption later. So then, we can use outgoing Bayesian metric to represent here. This metric has only our UU component of Einstein tensor, this one. A dot is, of course, DADU. And this represents outgoing radial null energy flow. So at this stage, the functional form of AU is not fixed. Okay? So this form will be determined by Einstein equation. Okay? So, and the interior is given by just a flat metric. But here, time coordinate in flat space is different from that of the exterior because we are considering a back reaction of the mass of the shell. Okay? So to complete geometrical setup, we need to connect two coordinates, small u and large u. Okay? So we just use the following fact. This null shell moves light-like in the both coordinates. So from the exterior, this shell is indeed moving following a null line, null geodesic, like this. Okay? So from the interior also, this line is just null in this sense. Okay? So then we have this connection condition. So this second equation gives equation motion of the shell. Okay? So if AU is given, then you can determine the motion of the RSU. And using the solution, we can determine a relation between small u and large u from this second first equation here. So then we have completed geometrical setup in this preliminary part. Okay. So now we will generalize this single shell model to multi-shell model like this. So we want to understand evolution of continuous spherical matter. So we model this object as many null shells like this. So because of our spherical symmetry, we can represent each region by each bigeometric. Each bigeometric has its Schwarzschild metric AI and its our time coordinate UI. And of course, the interior is flat like this, and the exterior is given by a bigeometric with a total mass A. And we have also connection condition to each shell like this. So this connection condition gives our coupled equation system, this one. So from this coupled equation system, we want to determine functional form of UI of large U. So to solve the coupled equation system, this one, we introduce ansatz in the asymptotic stage. Asymptotic means, in my basic idea, we discussed behavior of the each shell. Do you remember? So if each shell behaves like our usual evaporating black hole in this sense, then each shell approaches this position here. So now we impose this condition to each shell. So in this sense, this ansatz is asymptotic ansatz. Ansatz for asymptotic state. Sorry. So later we will check the validity of this ansatz. Okay. So using this ansatz and taking a continuum limit in this sense, continuum limit. And we can determine functional form of UI of large U. So this is a derivation, but I will skip the detail. And about this is a point I like to stress here. This is an interior metric, which represents asymptotic state. And the interest point is this one is static. Even though each shell is shrinking from a microscopic point of view. But the metric itself is static. Then where is the time dependence? The time dependence is given by exterior metric. So this is our candidate metric. So this one is just a variation metric. Of course, this is time dependent, this described here, exterior. And this interior one is static. So this metric described here. And but the total system is emitting energy like this, according to our ansatz. And here, RA is a position of the surface here. And this surface is now like this. So you can check from this metric, there is no horizon and there is no trapped region. And physically, this part is important. This metric is same as this one. Just I write down this metric in terms of u, small u, or time for outside, okay? So this this exponentially large red shift, because of that, the interior is almost frozen in time. But microscopically, each matter is falling. This is a physics. Anyway, that is a candidate metric. Next, this is step two. We evaluate the expectation value of energy momentum tensor. We are interested in interior region because interior metric is more non-trivial than exterior, right? So interior is static, so we can introduce UV coordinates in some sense, right? So in this coordinate, we will evaluate the expectation value of energy momentum tensor. And first, we note metric is static and spherically symmetric. So energy momentum tensor should be solved in this way. Now we are neglecting the effect of scattering, this effect, right? So in this coordinate, UV coordinate, the scattered part is given by UV component of energy momentum tensor. But now, from the beginning, we neglected this scattering effect, this one. So UV component should be zero. So then we just have to determine UU component and theta theta component, just two components. Okay, let's fix two components. The first equation is just a definition of a trace. So theta theta is given by trace itself. The second equation is conservation law of energy momentum tensor. And integrating this equation, you have this one. So here is a boundary term, but we are considering a collapsing process. So our initial condition, the center is flat, so this part is vanish. So in this way, all the components are expressed in terms of trace. So now let's determine trace. Here, just for simplicity, we consider conformal matter. But I like stress here, this assumption is not necessary. Even if there is no assumption, we can determine trace part. But anyway, here we use this assumption for simplicity. Okay. So in conformal matter case, trace part is given by conformal anomaly, wild anomaly, of course. So the point is, this anomaly is state independent. So F is a curvature, just a square of wild curvature, and G is a Gauss bonded density. So using this formula and using your candidate metric, then you got this leading value of trace, just a order one. So then we have fixed all the components of energy momentum tensor. Yes, this is a result. So we have obtained all one, theta theta, u, u, v, v, u, v. So on the other hand, our candidate metric also gives all the components of a trace, like this. So then you can see if we identify sigma as like this, then all the equation, all the components are satisfied, you can see. So in this sense, this is self-consistent solution of this semi-classical Einstein equation. And before going to a consistency check, I like remove artificial assumption UV component zero. To remove this condition, we introduce a phenomenological equation, this one. So UV component is given by some phenomenological function F times UU. Here, we assume F is order one. So using this phenomenological equation, and again, we assume conformal matter, then F should be constant, because F is our dimensionless function, and system is conformal, so F should be constant. And now, we put general ansatz for interior, which is spherical symmetric and static, so this is general ansatz. So to fix unknown function A and B, we use these two equations. The first one is, of course, a self-consistent equation of a trace part, and the second one coming from this one, from Einstein equation. Then we can determine the metric. So this is our self-consistent solution. So here is a visual metric, same, and this is the interior metric. This part is a little bit modified by including F effect, scattering effect. Here, F, and sigma is given by here, F. And F represents scattering effect of Hawking radiation. So non-zero F should decrease the total amount of radiation. So indeed, the effect appeared like this. So this is our self-consistent solution, and there is no horizon, no trapped region, and black hole is evaporating like this, and there is a surface. Okay. So now, let's check our consistency, several points. The first one is a curvature. If this region R is larger than Planck's length, then all the curvature is order one, that is almost Planck scale. But if CW is a coefficient of a Weyl anomaly, do you remember? And if C is large, curvature is less than Planck scale. So C plays a role of N in the introduction. So intuitively, if your Lagrangian has many matter spheres, then this condition is satisfied. So less than Planck scale means no singularity in this geometry. So this is our Penrose diagram. Clumsy matter is coming and Hawking radiation come back. As long as the total size of the radiation is larger than Planck scale, and our Lagrangian, effective Lagrangian of gravity is Einstein-Hilbert plus order one coefficient times R square, R third, something like that. So then this dynamical equation, that is semi-classical Einstein equation, is valid. This equation indeed can determine dynamics of the gravity or is classical geometry. So because you see, and our curvature is 1 over n as order, this term is 1 over n, this term is 1 over n squared. So these terms are just a subleading correction, so we can neglect that effect. So I have two comments. One is this model cannot describe the final stage of evaporation because of this condition here. So, and the second point is this result is consistent with a singularity theorem because there is no trapped region. And the consistency check two, Hawking radiation. So in this geometry, we can reproduce Hawking radiation. So according to Hawking's original derivation, you can solve evolution of Klein Godwin equation, for example, by using an Eichner approximation like this. So then you can obtain this Planck-like distribution. But this temperature depends on time, like this. And we have used our Stefan Boltzmann law as ansatz, okay, just ansatz. But here we reproduce the Stefan Boltzmann law like this. Sigma is indeed given by this one. And the next point is energy condition. In my notation, minus diagonal TT is energy density. And this is positive, and this value indeed reproduces total mass in this way. And pressure, radial pressure is given by this one, including effect of F. The most important one is theta theta, angular direction. So this pressure is order one, almost Planck scale. And this one is much larger than radial direction. So in this sense, interior is drastically anisotropic. So the interior is not fluid. And furthermore, this pressure is much larger than energy density. So dominant energy condition is broken. But null energy condition is satisfied. And finally, I write a comment on the meaning of this large value. So this large angular pressure supports this object because this object is spherically symmetric. So effectively, this tangential pressure works as radial pressure, right? So this pressure and gravitational force inward, they are balanced. So then this object is stabilized. And the next point is, before going further, I like explain a little the origin of this large value of pressure. The essence is this equation. So this is a self-consistent equation of the trace. So schematically, this equation can be written this form. R is curvature intuitively. So R equals R squared, okay? So this equation has three categories of our solution. First one is this one. Curvature is very small. So this is just a perturbative solution. And the second one is, of course, nonsense. And the third one is non-trivial. And this curvature indeed saturate this equation, you can see. So these are curvature is given by 1 over h bar. So in this sense, this is non-perturbative solution. Our solution is categorized to this third one. So this effect comes from intuitively this trace equation. And here, do you remember this relation? Angular direction pressure is given by trace like this. So as you know, summing out the vacuum fluctuation with a large angular momentum, then you can obtain anomaly formula, right? So in this sense, the origin of large pressure are fluctuations. So in this way, even if your system is spherically symmetric, the dynamics is very different in two-dimensional model and the four-dimensional model, right? Okay. Next, our checkpoint is ansatz, okay? So we have used this ansatz, then we obtained our metric. But physically, collapsing matter first experience on transient process, right? And after that, the matter approaches asymptotic metric, right? So this transient process depends on time, of course, and this dynamics should be depend on the initial distribution of collapsing matter. So it should be hard to study this stage. So here, to investigate this time-dependent part, we use a simple model. So that is, we consider S wave of massless scalar field, and we solve triangle equation in the Eichner approximation. So then, this self-consistent equation reduced to this coupled equation system. And the second one is just equation motion shell. And the third one is just connection condition. And the first one is non-trivial. This equation here, AI is the mass of the shell. So, and this equation determine the geometry, dynamics of the matter, sorry. So here, this bracket is Schwarzian derivative, this guy. So, and this Schwarzian derivative contains three derivatives, so higher derivative. So the result, so using this result, using this equation, we got this result. That is, perturbation around asymptotic metric approaches zero if we fine-tune initial condition. So in this sense, this ansatz is stable. But what is fine-tuning? Why do we need fine-tune? So similar problem appears in back reaction of accelerating electrons, right? So, and the electron is accelerating, then self-force drives the electron itself. So the self-force is given by higher derivative, do you know? And of course, so if you want to get physically reasonable behavior of the electron, including back reaction effect, you need to fine-tune initial condition. Then you get our physically reasonable future behavior. So similar problem appear in this case. So if you fine-tune initial condition so well, then you got this behavior. So anyway, I like explain here. this ansatz is, in this sense, stable and physically reasonable. Okay, so final part is for entropy and information. Okay, let's imagine we grow up black hole slowly and slowly in the heat bath. Okay? So this means our black hole, this one, is reversible in thermodynamical sense, okay, adiabatic formation. So this black hole is described by this metric for interior. So now, by using some thermodynamical discussion, we can evaluate entropy density inside this object. So this result tells 4 by r squared s, that is entropy per proper length, is given by root n bit. Okay. So when you sum up this entropy density over interior volume, then you can reproduce area law exactly. So this result implies the information should be stored inside the black hole, not on the surface. And this is the final checkpoint, information recovery. So in this picture, Hawking radiation is created inside the collapsing matter. So the naturally, we can expect the collapsing matter and the Hawking radiation interact. So probably this interaction is important for information recovery because, for example, in thermodynamics, a small interaction leads to equilibrium state, right? So if black hole is a thermodynamical object, then such a small interaction should be important. So indeed, we can estimate scattering time scale between the collapsing falling shell and the outgoing radiation here. And then the scattering time scale is A log A, which corresponds to scrambling time. And this time scale is much shorter than lifetime of black hole itself. So many scattering occurs inside, then probably information come back in the evolution. But of course, this naive discussion requires more precise analysis in future. Okay, conclusion. A quantum black hole should be a dense star without horizon or singularity, but it looks like our usual black hole from the outside. And the interior large tangential pressure appears, and this pressure stabilizes this object, but the large pressure breaks dominant energy condition. And there is no horizon. Instead, surface exists, and the Penrose diagram is given by this one. And these are self-consistent solution of this semi-classical Einstein equation if there are many matter spheres. And entropy comes from interior in this sense. And there are many future directions. And the first one is about information program. And the second one is microscopic counting of entropy density. I'm now calculating this one, and I got a partial result. That is, indeed, this counting gives our area law. And one of the exciting directions is this one. How about observable signal from such this quantum black hole? And the last one is the important. Can we generalize this picture to rotating black hole? And at this stage, we have a partial clue, that is, there is universal surface of Kolmogorov core. I established this result already. So, and thank you very much. This is my slogan, no horizon, but surface. This is a black hole. Thank you very much.
So just to clarify, that when you consider your falling matter, you're basically saying the horizon doesn't form because of walking radiation inside the ship.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Can you just remind us why we should expect walking radiation there?
So you see here on generically particle creation occurs in time-dependent space-time, right? So in the time dependence leads to Hawking radiation naturally. So and this effect gives this picture. Yeah.
In which radius scales will this be varied?
Oh, okay. So and the thank you. And the radius larger than Planck length.
Would this description be valid for
astronomical
black holes or things like that?
I think, so this picture is valid even in astrophysical science, I think.
And, but could you then like do some tests about gravitational wave?
Yeah, so here, and your question is maybe related to this one. So, and some people predicted on because of surface effect are something like echo signal should come after ring down of gravitational wave signal. Yeah. So and in future, if possible, I like study on the property of this model in that context. So in this sense, my model is or can be tested. Yes. Yeah.
Any more questions? So taking from gravitational waves, you expect that there are some constraints because the derivation are usually dependent on the fact that you have black holes.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. So in future, I like our.
I mean, you could
study.
You have many variables to play with because you have matter, essentially. So, might that not be a bit like, too much to play with to move it out or not?
I don't know. So, in principle, we can compare observable data and so theoretical model like this in future. Yeah, I will do it.
So if you have any more questions, you people will be here until Saturday, so
yeah. Thank you very much.